Good morning. Welcome to Bethlehem Lutheran Church, where God has called and gathered us here this day to receive his gifts through his word. The Old Testament reading for the first Sunday in Advent is from Jeremiah chapter 23. Behold, the days are coming, declares the Lord, when I will raise up for David a righteous branch, and he shall reign as king and deal wisely, and shall execute justice and righteousness in the land. In his days Judah will be saved, and Israel will dwell securely. And this is the name by which he will be called, the Lord is our righteousness. Therefore, behold, the days are coming, declares the Lord, when they shall no longer say, as the Lord lives, who brought up the people of Israel out of the land of Egypt, but as the Lord lives, who brought up and led the offspring of the house of Israel out of the north country and out of all the countries where he had driven them. Then they shall dwell in their own land. This is the word of the Lord. The earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. For he has founded it upon the seas. Who shall ascend the hill of the Lord? He who has clean hands and a pure heart. He will receive blessing from the Lord. Such is the generation of those who seek him. Lift up your heads, O gates. Who is this King of glory?
The Lord is strong
and mighty.
The Lord mighty
in battle. Lift up your heads, O gates.
And lift them up, O nation doors, that the King of glory may come in.
Who is this King of glory?
The Lord of hosts, he is the King of
glory. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen. The epistle is from Romans chapter 13. Owe no one anything except to love each other. For the one who loves another has fulfilled the law. The commandments, you shall not commit adultery, you shall not murder, you shall not steal, you shall not covet, and any other commandment are summed up in this word. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. Love does no wrong to a neighbor. Therefore, love is the fulfilling of the law. Besides this, you know the time, that the hour has come for you to wake from sleep. For salvation is nearer to us now than when we first believed. The night is far gone, the day is at hand. So then, let us cast off the works of darkness and put on the armor of light. Let us walk properly, as in the daytime, not in orgies and drunkenness, not in sexual immorality and sensuality, not in quarreling and jealousy, but put on the Lord Jesus Christ and make no provision for the flesh to gratify its desires. This is the word of the Lord. The Holy Gospel according to St. Matthew, the 21st chapter. When they drew near to Jerusalem and came to Bethphage, to the Mount of Olives, then Jesus sent two disciples, saying to them, "Go into the village in front of you, and immediately you will find a donkey tied and a colt with her. Untie them and bring them to me. If anyone says anything to you, you shall say, 'The Lord needs them,' and he will send them at once." This took place to fulfill what was spoken by the prophet, saying, "Say to the daughter of Zion, 'Behold, your king is coming to you, humble and mounted on a donkey, and on a colt, the foal of a beast of burden.'" The disciples went and did as Jesus had directed them. They brought the donkey and the colt and put on them their cloaks, and he sat on them. Most of the crowd spread their cloaks on the road, and others cut branches from the trees and spread them on the road. And the crowds that went before him and that followed him were shouting, "Hosanna to the Son of David! Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord! Hosanna in the highest!" This is the word of the Lord. Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Who is the coming son of David? As I mentioned earlier, we are starting this new church year, and so we're switching our texts a little bit. Before, I was preaching on the epistles. This year, I'm going off the gospel. So today, I'm going off a really fascinating start to the church year. Because, you know, you might would think that, all right, as we're building up to Christmas, as we're starting Advent, it would sort of make sense to maybe look at the early parts of, say, Matthew and Luke, where we see the prophecies that are made and the visitations, where Gabriel comes and talks to Zechariah and Elizabeth, maybe, or when he comes to talk to Mary, or when the angel visits Joseph in a dream. Those would be maybe the readings that you would expect to pop up in this first time of the church year when we're building up to Christmas. But instead of those, we get Palm Sunday, which is a fascinating place to start. Palm Sunday, of course, is the Sunday before Good Friday, the Sunday before Easter. It's the Sunday where Jesus comes in. We often will call it the triumphal entry, and that's what you heard today for our gospel reading. But there is a reason for this. Because Palm Sunday is actually one of the clearer places where we can see who the coming Son of David is. It's one of the clearer places in Jesus' lives where we can see, lives, in Jesus' life, where we can see that Jesus was indeed the prophesied Son of David. You actually heard two separate prophecies about this Son of David today. You heard both Psalm 24 and Jeremiah 23. Psalm 24, you heard about how the psalmist is saying, who is it that can possibly ascend the hill of the Lord? And recognize in the Old Testament, right, that when you're going up the hill of the Lord, you're almost always going up to make a sacrifice. The temple was on a hill. The sacrifices were always done up on a hill. And so, when it's saying, who can go up to this hill, the idea is, who is it that can actually do the sacrifice that we need someone to do? And the psalmist tells us that only he who has clean hands and a pure heart. Which is pretty unfortunate, in some ways, because no one has clean hands, and no one has a pure heart. At least none of us do. I certainly do not. In fact, nobody, no human who has lived is able to claim that, with the exception of one. And the psalmist tells us who this one is. The psalmist asks the question, who is this King of Glory? Who is it that can possibly come up this hill? Who could it possibly be? The psalmist tells us it is, in fact, the Lord himself, the Lord of hosts. And just a friendly reminder that when you hear the term the Lord of hosts, I think most of us probably think of the angel hosts that appeared before the shepherds to tell the shepherds about Jesus' birth. And make no mistake, that is a host of angels. But recognize that that word hosts here actually is probably closer to armies. This is the Lord of the angel armies. And I think it's also probably fair to recognize that that host that appeared to the shepherds would have been an army. It was an army of angels that was singing the praise of Jesus and telling the news. It is only God who can go up that hill, only God who has clean hands and a pure heart, which tells us then that the Son of David must be God. But that's not the only prophecy we had. We also had the prophecy from Jeremiah 23. And here we get kind of a more specific prophecy about David. The Lord will raise up for David a righteous branch, and he shall reign as king, and his name shall be called the Lord is our righteousness. Again, we needed someone to make the sacrifice. And that someone had to already be righteous. None of us are. Nobody else could fulfill that. But Jesus could, and Jesus did. There are, of course, numerous other prophecies about this Messiah, and recognize that Jesus fulfills every single one of them. Recognize the awesome truth that the Lord has come. As we enter this season of Advent, we are preparing ourselves to celebrate once again the coming of our King. We needed our Savior to be God. And in perhaps the most astounding display of love and humility that has ever existed, our God came. He knew we needed him. And so he comes for us. Recognize also that in order for God to die, he needed to be human. And that's where the humility aspect comes into play. He didn't just come down in his power. He didn't come down even as the Lord of hosts with those angel armies at his back to conquer the world. No, he came down as a baby. He came down. He spent 9 months in his mother's womb, just like every other human being. He was born just like every other human being. He grew up just like every other human being. And make no mistake, when he came, he did come for battle, but he didn't come to fight us. He didn't come to try and conquer us. He instead came for us. He came to fight for us. He came to battle evil itself. He came to defeat the devil and his demons who are constantly tempting us, constantly trying to trick us into doubting our Lord. He came to conquer the sin of this evil world that we live in. He even came to defeat our own sinful nature. This is why we cry out, Hosanna. The word Hosanna, while we often use it as a word of praise for our God, is actually more literally defined as save us now, or sometimes even pray, save us now. It's a cry for help, because that's what we need. We need help. We needed a Savior. We could not make the sacrifice ourselves. We could not ascend the holy hill of God because we did not have clean hands or a pure heart. And so we called for help, and our God answered. Behold, your King is coming to you. Jesus came. He came just as he promised, just as he was prophesied. And when he came, he succeeded. He won the day. He walked up the hill that no other human could walk up. His hands were clean. His heart was pure. And when he came up to the top of that hill, he did not make a sacrifice of some lamb or cow or birds or anything like that. He made a sacrifice of himself. He died on that hill. He died on the cross. He died as the sacrifice for our sins, for our evil. And in doing so, he secured our salvation. He gave us the forgiveness of sins that he earned there. And even more than that, he didn't stay dead. Not even death could defeat him. But instead, he rose. He rose from the dead. He defeated death. He beat it so badly, even to the point where death can no longer hold even us. He proved that just as he rose, we too will one day rise from the dead. And this is the other promise that he's made you. He won't leave you alone. You are not alone. He is here with you even now. He's given you others to gather around you, to be with you even now. He's given you your families to gather around you and be with you so that you will not be alone. And he has promised that he will come again. You are free to trust him to fulfill his promise. Not with some kind of blind faith, but because he's fulfilled every other single promise that he's made. You can trust him to fulfill this one as well. He will return. And when he does, it will be the end of this world and the beginning of the next, and he will bring all of us who believe to be with him in that new world. Trust him, for he is trustworthy. Now may the peace which passes all understanding guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.